Hello and welcome everyone to the Amateur Adult American Football League official podcast, episode number 2, Farewell to the Florida War Eagles. This particular episode, we will be going into some house cleaning to start, and then we'll get into our farewell to the War Eagles. We have an interview with our brand manager during this episode, plus we'll get into a weekly segment that we're going to be doing on the free agency moves of all of the former War Eagles going forward. I'm pretty excited about that one. We also get into the origins of the Florida War Eagles, and then we also give some updates on the barbecue that we're having on Sunday. Now, one thing I do want to point out is that we did get a new microphone, so the audio quality should be superb for this episode and everyone going forward. However, we did have a little bit of issues as far as volume control between the two of us talking. So, if you do notice that the volumes aren't necessarily the same, and you might have to turn the volume up or volume down depending upon what segment we're in. We do apologize for that. It's something that we're working through and something that we're working definitely to get better on going forward. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy the second episode. All right, well, to get started, I want to touch on one thing that I believe we didn't make too terribly clear in the last episode. So we are actually folding the Florida War Eagles. They are no longer going to be a team going forward. And the staff that ran the Florida War Eagles is now going to be running the Triple AFL. So some people got confused when we made the announcement. They thought we were joining a new league.
I know. I was like, how did you guys think we're joining a new league? You never heard of this league in your whole life.
just didn't read or something. I'm not entirely sure, but they thought we were joining a new league. There was a couple people who thought that we were changing the name of the team to the Triple AFL. I saw that too, had a couple questions.
That's hilarious. I just laughed really loud. That was funny.
But we just wanted to, Triple AFL?
Yeah, that's what I'm laughing. Like, what the hell?
It'd be better, too, if you just didn't say anything to anyone. Just the Triple AFL. What does that stand for? I don't know. Whatever you wanted to stand for. That would be interesting. All right. Well, now that we got that all cleared up, we can get to the meat and potatoes of this particular podcast and our farewell to all the Florida War Eagles. The main purpose of this particular episode is going to be our farewell to the War Eagles. It's been a very long journey. It hasn't been an easy one, that's for sure, but it's been worth it, I think. Made a lot of relationships, a lot of players and coaches that I'm probably going to know for the rest of my life.
Especially with me, as I came from Michigan basically a year before the War Eagles started. So really where I established all of my friends, you know, in the state of Florida is within the semi-pro level and with the Florida War Eagles. And it is going to be tough, especially I got a lot of good buddies on the team. I had my own little brother on the team.
Yeah, that's true.
I played myself this year. I did a lot with the War Eagles. You know, I've been part owner all 3 years. The first year I was the offensive coordinator. Year two, I'm the head coach. And then year three, I'm an offensive tackle. So I tried everything I freaking could to get a ring on our fingers. Unfortunately, I couldn't get it done. We got closer than people think. Our rosters were really stacked, but not to put any excuses out there, but we did get hit with injuries a lot, and you know, we had some guys that wouldn't stick around that we were really excited about, but you know, we definitely built a good brand. We're a hell of a competitive team for 3 straight seasons, and I'm extremely proud of what we did.
Yeah.
I'm extremely proud of all the guys that helped us do this because we have a lot of players on our team that helped out a ton, especially year one traveling with, you know, the APDFL going all the way up to...
Oh, my God. Those trips were so long.
Going to Atlanta, going to Alabama, and, you know...
Pensacola twice.
Pensacola. The first game ever. And I still to this day believe that the best game the War Eagles ever played was the first rookie game we ever had.
Yeah. But we played the Atlanta Tigers.
Tigers.
And the kickoff classic for the APDFL. We won 42-0.
Yep, and that was up in Pensacola. We traveled 9 hours north.
50 deep.
We
were missing one guy. Just one.
Oh. And that was a good team, too. You know, that wasn't a team that, like, got whooped up the rest of the year. The Atlanta Tigers.
No, they beat us later that year. Yeah, I mean, we got the win through some forfeit because they had a suspended player. And
yeah, it was weird, but... Yeah.
But, I mean, on the field, they beat us. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad team.
They had a winning record that year. And we beat them 42-0 the first game. It was just crazy, you know. Most of the guys on our team had never played semi-pro or amateur football before.
That was almost a good thing.
Oh, it was absolutely a good thing. I feel like that's why, because all these guys were just, you know, had the mentality of high school or college football, and they came out ready to rock, man. And we put it on that year, too. And we weren't even as talented year one as we were the other 2 years.
That's kind of where...
We were more disciplined, and guys, you know, weren't lackadaisical with this type of, you know, football or anything. Everybody was young.
They sold out.
Everybody was pumped. Everybody still had a lot of expectations to reach the next level in their own, you know, individual careers. So that, I feel, made a big difference year one, too, as far as the passion for everything went.
Well, I think another big part of that, too, was the traveling, too. Like, we touched on it earlier, but...
It was fun.
There was so much, and we did it in such a confined space in those little vans that we all got hotel rooms.
Created a brotherhood, man.
Yeah, they sold out for each other. That's something that's kind of rare to see these days. And I think my biggest mistake over the 3 years was we did a core 25 after our first year. We had really big heads. We thought we were going to get super talented, and we were going to recruit everybody, and it didn't work out. We ended up turning away guys that really made up the core of the team.
Well, we all did. I keep stuttering over this because I'm trying to, you know, find out the right way to say this. But absolutely, you know, we were really good year one, but we just weren't quite as talented as everybody else. So, you know, we thought if we added just a bunch more talent, it'll come together, bada bing, bada boom. You know? Where, you know, if we might have helped build a little bit more, who knows?
I'm always... taken back by the amount of discipline we had as a first-year team.
Right.
We didn't have any issues. Guys were always there. They were always at practice. I mean, we went 7-3, beat an undefeated team that year. We took a whopping when we went up to Opelika. We got found. Well, we found out.
That was not fair.
We had It was 48 hours notice that we have to go to Northern Alabama, and we're like, oh.
And we had just went to like Atlanta the
week
prior.
We had just gotten back from Atlanta. Yep. Exactly. It was 2 8-hour trips.
It was retarded. The league was like, if you don't... Well, I guess I won't say it's retarded. It's not a bad rule at all, but it just was very unfortunate for us. But, you know, the rule was that if you forfeited a game, you had to forfeit your playoff spot.
Exactly.
And obviously, we didn't want to do that, so we scoot up to Alabama with
19 guys.
19 dudes and maybe missing, like 5 starters or something like that.
No, we were missing... I think we were missing 19 of the 22 starters.
Yeah, nice.
We had a guy who hadn't played for a couple weeks. Actually, Nico was gone for a while.
Nico.
God rest his soul. He came up and showed more heart than anyone I've ever seen. He impressed me, to be honest with you. If he would have stuck at it, he probably would have been the quarterback going forward.
True story. And that was really exciting for me because myself, Biz, Dante, and Nico all went and got a hotel room, you know, the night prior, and we stayed in Alabama. And we actually went to the field Friday night and threw the football around and stuff like that. And obviously,
Field that we played?
Yeah, we went over.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we threw the football around and hung out. I actually got some pictures on my phone of them throwing the ball around and stuff like that. It was pretty fun. Then we woke up the next day and play some Iron Man football. I was just calling the plays then, though. I wasn't suiting up.
Yeah, yeah, and I knew that game was done the second I heard the sirens of the car.
Best entrance.
Oh my God, it was every single player from the War Eagles was on the field with their jaws dropped, just watching. It was so good.
Maybe not that dramatic.
No, it was.
I
was drooling.
So a quick sum up of what it was the Chiefs field was kind of down a big hill. Right.
And it was hidden by a building.
Yeah.
So you can't see the hill until you get to the crest of it.
Yep. And what they did is they had a police car out in front, had the sirens roaring, and he was driving down the hill, and then all the Chiefs came, were coming down with him, and they had, like, fireworks and smoke. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, it was...
It was a big,
I was
like,
what?
They had, like, crazy. A video production going with, like, two guys walking beside him, and then they had the announcer playing, like, their intro music, and it was, like, light effects and...
Yeah, later I checked, I did some research on their quarterback, and their quarterback was a D2 Heisman winner. Like, holy crap, what is he doing here? Oh, like, that is not fair. We're playing this guy with three starters and 19 guys were playing a D2 Heisman winner.
Yeah. Great. I remember in the locker room before we went out there, I walked out to the guys and I'm like, listen, you know, let's just have some fun playing the game we love, you know? And I was trying to get guys in the right mindset, and then, you know, TC, of course, our coach doesn't believe in us. let's go prove them wrong. We're going to go beat these guys.
Hey, I'll give myself credit to the fact that Biz, Nico, and Dante were all fully bought in.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling off a miracle that night.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, I just wish that guys would have taken...
I believed it, too. I won't.
But, you know, at the same time, I feel like that kind of, if we went into that game with a little bit different mentality, maybe RJ still finished that season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that really hurt to see him, because he sold out for us, man, all year.
He was, and he really was passionate guy.
He was going to get his opportunity to start at running back the following week after everything that happened, and then he, was it, dislocated his hip?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
It was rough. Yanni got really hurt that game, too. A lot of injuries.
Yeah. Yanni, I hope you listen to this, because you want to know how Yanni got hurt that game?
What did he do?
He sprained his ankle playing catch before the game started.
Did he really?
I swear.
So he didn't even get hurt in the game. It was before.
He probably made it worse.
Yeah.
But I really remember. Because they were all just playing catch.
But he's the first one, too, on game day to be like, come on, guys, get together, you know? It was echoing the coaching staff.
He was having a good time. Shit happened.
That's funny. That's I don't want to say funny. No. It's ironic. Let's say that. Yeah.
No, year one was pretty cool. Year two, we definitely added a bunch more talent, but we're a little more undisciplined.
Year two was kind of a blur for me personally. It's just we changed up our structure. That's when you went to the head coach. I went to offensive coordinator, and I kind of shot us in the foot.
Yeah, you gave yourself a lot of flack.
You know, well, you got to think about it, though, because how many times did I give Casey a hard time about overcomplicating his offense?
Right.
All the time. How many times did I give you a hard time our first year about overcomplicating the offense? And then my bright idea was to install a pure progression offense that requires a lot of chemistry with very limited practices. And I kind of put...
It's tough to do that.
Especially with Brett, who's, you know, nothing against him, but he just never been in that sort of system before. So it was tough. We eked out quite a bit. I mean, we simplified things towards the end of the season, and everything got better, it seemed. So that's something that was good. But that second season, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of it. We ended up... That was... What were you, 5-5?
Well, we played the same teams.
That's true.
Three different teams. Two times. I didn't like that schedule at all.
I didn't like that schedule at all either. Like, we got the Reapers.
Yeah, like, oh, jeez. You know?
And then that one game against the Ravens, too, that we played at home, that was the weirdest game I've ever played in my life.
And all kinds of stuff.
The yardage totals, they had like negative 40, and we had like 280. Mm-hmm. And we lost 8-0. And the touchdown and safety they got was both on punts that were over snapped.
To us, where we had so many more yards, or even like games that we got beat up a little bit, like the yardage would be even. I swear, we just had demons in the red zone. As
demons.
A franchise.
Yeah.
Like, how many times?
You know what it was?
Can you think that we'd get to the red zone?
It was Biz.
And we wouldn't.
It might have been Biz. He might.
What'd he do?
No, because of that song he made. Eagles is in the red zone. Boy, he ain't playing. See, that's what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. He jinxed it. He jinxed it, man.
Possibly.
Way to go, Biz.
The War Eagles song. About that. We got to get that jamming at the barbecue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another thing our first year, too, that we forgot to mention. Biz actually went out and made a song for the team. War Eagle Anthem. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. He gave me a shout out in it.
Yeah.
I thought I was a badass.
Yeah, <me too. laughs>
It was awesome. I really liked it.
That was cool. We played it at all the home games, and we put it on like the highlight film and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you can find the end of the year highlight film on our YouTube page and Facebook. That will come out after the barbecue on the 26th. I'm really excited about that barbecue. And while we're talking about our first 2 years here, I definitely want to make sure that I mention that this final barbecue that we're doing, this award ceremony on the 26th, it's going to be for everyone who was ever a War Eagle. I don't care if we've cut you. I don't care if you and I aren't on speaking terms. I don't care if you've paid in full, if you've never paid me a dime and you owe me money. If you were a War Eagle at any point in time, come on by. Let's celebrate. Let's say farewell the right way to this team that's really meant a lot to a lot of people. I know I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We really had a good group of guys, you know, as far as character. And, you know, we had some guys that, you know, were chirpers on the field. But what's funny is most of the big chirpers on the field are actually really good guys. You know,
I think they did it just to stress me out. I think they just, a couple of them did.
Well, that's part of some guys, you know, repertoire, but it gets a little overboard sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sure. Okay, most of the time. Yes.
I tell you what, it was entertaining. We could have made our own little sitcom there just on the sidelines, just listening to the guys commentate the game, what's going on.
A lot of good guys on this team. I'll tell you what, you want to talk about some guys hitting the free agent market here.
Oh, my goodness. Should we take a moment to really talk about that a little bit for people who aren't really interested in our barbecue? Like, you got a lot of really, really talented guys that can, I think, start for just about any team.
At the end of the day, man, you can see every single guy on the whole entire roster. Like,
exactly, and I think...
Man, they're stacked.
Yeah.
Especially the first few games of the year this year, we lost quite a few guys this year, to be honest. Our team was pretty baller in, like, November, December.
Well, that's the thing that really got me as our third year here is I got a little confident, you know, trying to market for these guys.
Real confident in this.
Well, you got to think about it, though. We had...
I know, man.
Willie and Keith. We had TC coming back. Yeah. Leo Corrigan was coming over. We had Reed coming back to play defensive end. Fred was going to be here. Then he was gone, but then he came back again.
Everybody before, and, you know, we had... we had Leo, you know, crazy speed rusher. We had Mike. We had Tyrone. Holy moly.
Yeah.
And we did have DeMarcus.
Yeah.
At first, and he bounced on us. It's all good. No hard feelings. He
wasn't the first one, and he wasn't the last one to bounce on us. So.
Right. And, you know, I hear he wanted to play wide receiver, and I understand that. We were kind of forcing quarterback on him. So, no hard feelings at all. He's a damn good player. But, hey, we made the playoffs again. And you want to talk about an exciting game, you know. It sucks to lose that game. I mean, as like a fan perspective or, you know, your heart beating out of your chest type of atmosphere, that definitely was that last game. Comes down to the one-inch line, essentially.
My heart was beating out of my chest because of how mad I was over that stupid touchdown they had on the field goal, right, over us fumbling it with like 10 seconds to go before halftime and them getting a touchdown out of it and then that 80-yard touchdown that Tyrone had that he was out of, like, it's just that whole game.
It does suck, but...
It's going to be interesting to see where everybody ends up. I know there's quite a few young guys that we have that have a promising future if they get on with the right team and in the right league. That's something that I'm very much looking forward to. It's something we're going to commentate on a little bit, too. I think as we go on, we talked about talking about where players end up and stuff like that. So that's something definitely we'll touch on.
Free agent special?
Yeah, maybe we'll make it a weekly segment.
Yeah,
you know, free agency.
That'd be kind of cool. Free agent special.
I don't know about special. I don't like that name.
I think that's what it's called on
NFL
Network.
We'll do another poll. I'll put up another poll.
Free agent frenzy.
That's like trademark though, isn't it?
Probably.
We'll think of something. Some sort of free agent thing. I do want to just take a moment myself to genuinely thank every single person who has made the War Eagles happen over the years. It has been a very long journey. It has taken a lot of people, a lot of hours, a lot of time, effort, a lot of energy, a lot of money, a lot of time we're never going to get back, devoted to this brand, devoted to this team. There's a lot of memories that, you know, we're going to hold for a very long time. It's going to be really hard for me to let go, during this ceremony. But at the end of the day, I want to make amateur football better. And I can affect that more with a league than I can with a team. Hey, there needs to be standards.
This can seriously be a crazy great outlet for guys that don't get looks after high school, for guys that dropped out of high school and need to get their GED and get back into the game, for guys that, you know, went to a small college and didn't get looked at, you know, afterwards. Come get some game film here. Just
there's more than that, too. There's guys that never got the opportunity to play in high school. Like myself, when I originally got into it, I didn't play high school football.
Yeah, that's pretty
crazy. I was involved at ROTC, so I never got the opportunity to. So when I got out of the military, that's the first thing I wanted to do is hit some people, you know?
Football.
Give some people an outlet. Give them somewhere to go. Like some people, you know, graduate, they don't keep their friends anymore. They don't have people to hang out with.
It's definitely something to look forward to every week.
Right.
Sure. During the season, you're like, whoo, can't wait till Saturday. That was always really exciting. No matter if you're a coach or a player, it's always...
I don't know. If you're an owner, it's a bit stressful. Especially if it's a home game. I like the away games. They were easy. You just showed up.
You just show up. Put your headset
on. The home games, they were not... Well, we're only going to have to do two of those a year now, so it's okay. I can do two a year. Especially on that big of a scale with that much building.
Well, we have a lot more people helping prepare because people aren't playing or coaching in a game.
Yes.
They're just preparing for that.
That was really awkward trying to coach and like set up game day all at the same time.
I mean, for just about every home game, it came down to not seeing my offensive lineman until we were actually starting the game. I would be so busy with trying to get water and ice for both teams and setting up at the gate and the concession stand, making sure that the fryer's running well, that the we have everything we need as far as propane is concerned and materials, and the press box is set up with the audio equipment, and we have a camera guy, and where are the refs? I don't know. And now we're going to do book checks, and the field still hasn't been set up with the pylons. And I didn't get a chance to really see my guys until the game was kicking off, and I think it really hindered me. It hindered the output of what our games could have been as well. So I think that's something that's going to be really cool this year is having eight of us who are solely focused on putting on the production of the Commissioner's Kickoff Classic and the championship game is going to make for a much more well-organized event when we're used to doing it with one person. And we're going to end up doing it with eight. So we're going to have a whole lot of time in our hands because we're going to get done a lot faster than we expect because we're used to working such shorthanded. So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to for sure.
That's why Scott was so huge the last few years, because we really had a guy that, you know, wasn't part of the ownership but was a hell of a coach and, you know, a hell of a guy that everybody respects. And that
absolutely.
That went a long way. He was a big ad for us. You know, if we never,
him and if Ronnie.
Ronnie had a heartbeat. He was there since day one. You know, Ronnie came essentially with me from the other team we were at to the War Eagles.
So. Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
that's a crazy
Should we talk about the origin a little bit?
I mean, so,
essentially, I was the offensive line coach for the Decepticons right before they did a rebranding. And Casey Adams rebranded the Decepticons into being the War Eagles. We had a preseason game that I was on a cruise for. I scheduled this cruise like a year in advance. I came back and things weren't really right. Casey was looking to either fold the team or let someone else take over, so I took over. But a lot of guys left. You know, I was never done this before, so they didn't really believe in me. I had a big tryout. We got some extra guys. We were up to about 30. And then we met up with the Predators, who were also in the area, and they were running through something similar. I'll let you speak on that, but essentially you guys ended up getting scammed.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Twice, basically.
Yeah, you're still waiting for that $35,000 that you're supposed to be getting.
So,
it's in the mail with your All-Star jerseys.
Yeah, nice. That's not a theory. But anyways, so how I find out about semi-professional football in the state of Florida is I'm on Indeed looking for a good job. I just moved to Florida, you know. I got a decent job looking for something a little better. All of a sudden, I see something on Indeed that says Pinellas Predators linebackers coach. I'm like, huh, what's this all about? I read it. Says we're supposed to make $25,000 a season, even for positional coaches. And this guy, Pete, calls me and butters it all up, you know, saying we got NFL coaches, this and that, and stuff
NFL?
Like that.
You didn't tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't ask what coaches?
Well, it was pretty legit at first because we were practicing at the D1 sports facility, which, you know, was a really nice facility. We were practicing there every single week. And Ed Schenck was our offensive coordinator. You know, we were establishing something pretty good, and we had the whole Palmetto crew, and we had Zach Henn, and we had...
Zach, I totally forgot about Zach.
We had Reed, we had DeCedric, we had CJ, you know, we had Dante, we had Jeff, we had...
No, we had Jeff, stop. Jeff was a Decepticon, and he was at all of our practices.
I don't know, he was at all of our practices.
Jeff's at all of everyone's practices.
That's all right.
He's like a quadruple agent.
Yeah, but we had Billy.
Oh, yeah.
We had TC.
He could have, you know, and then if he really just got, man, I don't know.
He was crazy.
Him and Brennan that first year. Billy would eat early in games, and then the guy would just take the snap and run from Billy and then run directly into Brennan. Brennan ended up with 3 sacks a game because the guy's running from Billy right into him.
Well, actually, what happened on How Everything Connected is Brett heard about the owners of the Predators doing some funky stuff. Brett and Derek actually came to a Predator practice, and they practiced with us. And a couple days later, Brett messages me on Facebook and says, hey, the War Eagles just got a new owner. He's a young guy. I think you guys should meet up and possibly talk about, you know, doing a merger or something like that. I'm like, well, I'm kind of in between a rock and a hard place. I really like all the guys that are on this team, but I'm not, you know, going into no thing all by myself or anything like that. So we wind up meeting at Mugs and Jugs, and everything went real cool. You know, we clicked off, you know, off rip and everything, and that first practice of the merger was intense.
Yeah, it was 60-some guys there. And not only that, but it was two teams coming together that were all vying for positions. So the competition was...
Ooh, that was the best practice ever. There's literally like 65 guys padded up at that practice, like rocking, like... You know, the guys that were starters on...
And that was the very
team,
first practice for us, so I'm thinking this is going to be what we have every practice going forward. You know?
Right.
I set some unrealistic expectations.
Like, holy moly, we're going to run away with this thing. And then, you know, obviously as soon as some guys saw that they were going to be starters here, you know, they kind of started dwindling down and stuff. Still were pretty stacked throughout the season year one.
Yeah, I just wish some players at this level would understand that injuries are a real thing. It's a long season. Injuries are a real thing. Guys
not showing up are a real
don't
thing.
Show up. Guys can get signed to play arena. Yeah. Guys can, you know, get signed to go overseas. Guys can get a flat tire. It's not like, you know, all these guys are living the greatest. They're not walking or driving around brand new cars or anything like that. You know, they run into car issues. Sometimes there's a conflict of interest with timing with a family event, and then all of a sudden you get the opportunity, and boom, you ran for 200 yards. Mm-hmm. Guess who's the starting quarterback next week? Right. Guess who's the starting running back next week? You know, like, I just guys would have had a little more faith in the system. I know there's a lot of...
Oh, in themselves, rather.
Yeah, that too. Maybe that was it.
Of course it's it.
I don't know. I always like to lay the blame on myself.
Well, that was a wonderful trip down memory lane as far as the origins of the Florida War Eagles are concerned. We do have 2 last segments for you before the second episode is over. First things first, though, we'll have a word from our sponsors, and then we'll get into the very first interview of very many that we're going to do on the Executive Board of Directors. The very first one is going to be on our brand manager, David Zinser, and then we will finish out the podcast giving you a little bit more information on our barbecue that we're having on the 26th, which is Sunday, tomorrow. We are releasing this podcast on Saturday night. So I hope to see you all there. Everybody drive safe.
Another thing that we have to touch up on is the fact that I never really introduced my co-host last episode.
Oh, really?
No, I said that you were going to be on, and then you just kind of started talking.
Oh, what's up?
So, David Zinsser is the co-host of this, and he will be on the majority of the segments that we do. And he's the brand manager for the league. And without further ado, I just want to give him an opportunity to introduce himself, his background, what makes him qualified to be part of this league, and in his position, and why he's doing the podcast with me. A little bit of his experience.
I'm from Michigan. I was born and raised right outside Detroit, Mount Clemens. I played 3 years college ball at Adrian College, where I got my degree in broadcast journalism. I'm a little rusty right now because I haven't done it in about 6 years, but we'll get there. I have a lot of fill-in words right now, like at the end of the day, and you know.
We haven't noticed.
Now that I've pointed that out, you can't criticize me because I already criticized myself. So, ha.
I don't think it works that way.
Yeah, maybe not. I also helped a guy I went to high school with, Quentin Hines, start the Rivals Professional Football League, and it was really legit year one. I'll end my sentence right there.
You don't want to touch on that a little bit?
Nope. After college, I moved to Florida. Came about everything and was the offensive coordinator year one and the head coach year two. And then I wound up playing this year and was also part owner and kind of the right-hand man, Jason, running this thing. Real passionate about this game of football. I don't know if there's a guy out there that can say he's more passionate about this game. I love this game more than life itself. I've studied this game my whole life. That's why a guy like me was able to go play, you know, 3 years of college football is because of how much I studied and how much I love the game. And
dude, you're not very tall, that's for sure.
I'm not. Yeah. It's
all right now. I'm sure you probably would have killed to have my height.
Oh, I wouldn't be here. I know. I'd be living in like a $5 million house playing for the Lions. You know.
I've been told that a lot. That's not good. Makes me feel bad about myself.
Well, not necessarily.
Now, you said that you do some journalism work, too, with the Tampa Bay Times, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do a part-time sports writer for the Tampa Bay Times. I cover a lot of the local high school games, sit in the press box, and I take the stats and stuff, and then interview the head coaches, maybe a couple players after the game, write an article.
Okay.
For the paper. Pretty cool gig. I actually did the same exact gig in Michigan all throughout college. There was obviously, you know, a college newspaper. I was very lucky enough to skip that, and I started working for the county's newspaper in college. And I actually published over 300 sports articles for the Daily Telegram in Lenawee County while I was in college. So that was a pretty cool experience, pretty cool job to have all throughout college. I would go to every single sports event you can think of. I covered high school football, basketball, girls and guys, boys. I did high school swimming, tennis, track. I covered every sport you possibly could for the Daily Telegram. And that was a really cool gig to have. It was pretty sad to let go of it. But, you know, obviously I graduated and I wasn't trying to live in Adrian, Michigan for the rest of my life. That's for sure.
I can't blame you there.
Yeah, it's a lot better over here in Florida. I love my town. I love my Lions. Love the University of Michigan. Go Blue. But I can still watch you guys from my big screen TV in Clearwater, Florida.
Where it's nice and sunny. Exactly. No more shoveling snow.
And I got a pool in the backyard.
Living life the right way, that's for sure. Now, as the brand manager, what made you kind of want to take that role on? What do you have any plans as far as the future for the Triple AFL or A3 League? The poll still isn't out yet.
Yeah.
So,
well, as the brand manager, I do prefer the A3 League. I kind of think it's a little more catchy.
Backed myself into a corner asking that question.
Right. I also got my bachelor's degree in marketing, so I have quite a bit of experience in that. I've been in sales my whole life and marketing my whole life. Made a decent living out of that.
You sold a job before you came over.
I did. Kind of something I specialize in, and you know, talking to people and closing deals and you know stuff like that. I guess you would say, but
we don't call you the closer for nothing.
I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Do you have any plans for the AAAFL? Like where you want to see the brand go in the future, or
the whole reason why? And believe me, guys, it hurts me more than you know, letting go of these War Eagles, because at the bottom of my heart, I am a football coach. But I really see a huge opening in this level of football, guys. I'm not kidding. You know, a lot of people take it as a joke. It is what it is. You got a few teams that are good, and, you know, that's what it's always going to be. I feel like this can be such a huge avenue to all guys that have had a rough beginning.
Yeah.
And it can be such a special thing that can present to local communities and everything. And we're not really taking advantage of that. Like, if we can really connect with all the local head coaches, you know, every single team, connect with your local head coach and talk to them and say, hey, you got any seniors that were good ball players, but, you know, they screwed up, they got kicked out of school, or they didn't have good grades, or they simply, you know, got overlooked because they might be a little smaller or something like that. Send them over to us. You know, send them over to this league, this amateur adult football league, where you can obtain film. People can help guide them as far as, you know, maybe getting his GED or going to St. Pete Community College or something like that, getting his grades up, and getting to the next level. There's nothing and there's no avenue for a guy that didn't have a great upbringing. You know, he played, he was an absolutely fantastic football player, but he got in trouble, and now all of a sudden he's 20 years old and there's no way to play football anymore and really get looked at. And your dream is completely squashed at 20 years old. 20 years old, your dream is completely squashed because you weren't born, you know, with a silver spoon in your mouth. Or you had
I mean, a lot of people don't get there because of situation, like you were saying. It's not always just the talent, doesn't always just rise to the top.
It doesn't. And this can be such a huge avenue. It can be such a special thing to communities, especially the game days as well. I mean, where else are you going to go watch an adult football game for $5?
Yeah. I mean, even if it's more,
it's
$8.
Talented guys too, right? $5, $10, whatever.
Exactly. Certainly, it's a lot better than going to pay $25 just to park before you get to the thing and pay $150 to $250 a ticket to watch a game from a half a mile away.
And where that all starts is establishing a good reputation, obviously. Not just within the semi-pro community. That's not as important to us, I don't think.
No.
I don't think the semi-pro community's opinion is as important to us as a league as what the community's opinion may be.
Absolutely.
Because the only way semi-pro is going to, or amateur football is going to improve, is by establishing a community into these teams. That's the only way.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you guys are going to keep on having 14 people at the game.
It can be.
That's cool. That's fun. That's like YMCA, like fun, good time. You know, welcome to YMCA. I always joked about that when leagues wouldn't establish a certain rule. I said, what is this, a YMCA league? Let's share film. We're trying to study. Let's compete. We're coaches. Anyways.
Yeah, that always really bothered me too. The biggest thing that I want people to realize is just, we are not going to confuse what is with what ought to be, and the scope that we're thinking is limitless. I do not want to just run a decent league. I want to completely change the standards of football at the amateur level. I would love to get to the point to where every game is professionally broadcast and simulcast on multiple mediums for every team, and every team has thousands of followers and merchandise sales and doing sponsors, and where they don't even have to charge their players. Like, it's possible to get to that point. We have to repair the reputation. And our first step is getting rid of the semi-pro name. That name is dead to me. This is amateur football. We need to reestablish a new reputation and take it to the community. Take it to these sponsors. That's where all the money's at. Sponsorships. But we need viewers. Sponsors want to have butts in seats. They don't want to have to worry about drama and fighting and anything stupid.
And they want anything that their name is on to be well respected.
Exactly.
That's a huge part of it.
That's a very huge part of it.
And it's almost amazing how many people don't know about this level of football at all.
Don't even know it exists.
Doesn't. Seriously. I run appointments for a living. I talk to hundreds and hundreds of people a month. A lot of years, and I may have met 4 or 5 people that knew, you know, what semi-pro football was. That's it. It's real strange.
Well, a lot of the marketing that a lot of these teams do is directly to the community that they're already part of. It's not overreaching. They're not pulling from new sources. They're just kind of putting it out. Now, granted, there are a couple teams out there that have a great brand. But we don't feel like there's enough teams that actually have a brand or understand the concept of building one. So that's something that's really important to me.
as far as getting these organizations to be profitable, getting these organizations to be productive, getting these organizations down the correct path in order to sustain over several years. So this way we can take those B and C level teams and make them A level teams. That's something that I really believe in, that we're not going to just be a league that produces a season. We're going to be a league that produces services for our organizations, for our teams, in order to make them better, not just to have them with us. Now, I do want to go ahead and get into this barbecue a little bit.
Okay, so it's going to be May 26th at 7 p.m. We're going from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at the East Lake Sports Complex. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some horseshoes out there. So if guys want to get into that a little bit, some beanbag toss for the kids. You know, I did really well that first time. I won two or three games in a row, and you and Scott.
Yeah, I came there.
You know what was funny about that, too, is we originally had it set up a lot further apart, and I was killing it. When we moved it closer, I couldn't hit it. I don't know what happened. I got used to it. But we'll have beanbag toss out there for the kids, too, if they don't want to throw the horseshoes around. Well,
beanbag is just as good as... It's just as fun as horseshoes. I love being back to us. I'm really good at that.
But it's mostly for the kids, though, because the kids can't really throw those horseshoes around. So we'll also have a flag football field set up, or a flag set up on one of the football fields, so this way we can get some games going. I'm going to make my pulled pork. Ooh. Might be the last chance some of you guys get to get some of that, unless you come to one of our championship games. I'm probably going to have to make three or four butts for that.
I'm excited for that, because every time you make the pulled pork, it's always on game day, and I'm never really hungry on game day, because I got so many emotions and butterflies, like, going through my body. So on Sunday, I'm sure I'll be nice and hungry and be able to enjoy a couple sandwiches.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get some drinks. We'll make sure we grab some hot dogs and hamburgers, too. If anyone wants to bring any meat to the grill, go ahead and bring it. We'll get it up on there. We'll also have our award ceremony that's going to happen that night. We got a bunch of different guys. Did you want to preview that a little bit? Maybe some nominees for each award?
I don't know if we have to go that far, but you know, obviously we have the MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Lineman of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year.
Oh, do we have the Most Improved? Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's right, we did. President's Award? President's Choice Award?
Warrior Award?
I don't know if we did the Warrior Award this year. Okay, I think that I turned that into the President's Choice Award. We also have Rookie of the Year. That's a new one that we added this year. Rookie. Guys have an idea of who it's going to be, but we took some votes. Oddly enough, everybody just kind of went with what I originally put up.
Yeah, because you just put, you know, your nominees, and I was like, well, yeah.
I think I hit the nail on the head, you know? There was a talk about two different ones, the Defensive Player of the Year.
But there wasn't much.
Yeah, it's going to be good, though. Those guys really deserve to get recognized for the kind of seasons that they've had and how much they've put forward for the season this year, too. So that's going to be fun. We make sure that we get these guys recognized. We'll have a lot of talk, a lot of fun, some football games, some horseshoes, some music. Good. If you want to bring a side, please do. If you make some sort of weird salad, or if you make cupcakes, or bring some chips, anything like that would definitely be appreciated. We'll have all the... Obviously, I don't know how many people are going to be there, so we may run out. So just bring some extra. You never know. Everybody brings one little thing. We'll have enough for us all to have a feast. Absolutely. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope everyone can make it. It's at the East Lake Sports Complex, like I said, 3555 Old Keystone Road, Tarpon Springs, Florida, 34688, if you wanted to write that down.
Also, War Eagle players that played this year, if you come, get your jersey.
Yeah, absolutely. We were going to hold on to the jerseys for the next year to make our expenses a little lower, but there's no need for that now. So if you played for the War Eagles this year, we ordered you a jersey, come on by and grab it. You know, we don't have any use for it anymore.
Yeah, you guys definitely lucked out as far as team fees go. Now you guys get to keep your jerseys, too. They got to play a whole season, keep the jerseys, the whole nine yards for $150.
And not all of them...
That's pretty good.
Not all of them paid that, but I'm not going to be bitter.
Yeah, they
I'm still going to be bitter. I'm not going to lie.
But yeah, whatever.
It's over now at that point. I want to just make sure that we say farewell the right way, you know?
Absolutely. This team has meant the world to me over the last 3 years. Like I said, it was how I established my social life in Florida. And it, you know, it's something that really kept me going and something I really looked forward to at all times, and how I established all my good friendships in Florida, too. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've grown really close to you over the last couple of years, and think about what this team has done to us.
Yeah,
you and I have had some great moments of camaraderie. We've had some moments where we're yelling at each other and motherfucking each other. We've had some disagreements that, you know, we didn't talk to each other for a little bit. You know, we had to cool off a little bit. You know, we don't always see eye to eye, but, you know, know, that's what family does. Family fights, but family always gets things right.
Yeah, you know, you and John and quite a few guys on the team, you know, come over to my house a lot, and I know a lot of the players' kids and the whole nine yards. So yeah.
Frank came last year and kind of saved us too financially.
Absolutely, Frank was huge for us starting last year. He really backed us up, that's for sure. Really nice of him to do that because, you know, he didn't have a really big stake, you know, into this or a real huge reason why.
He's not even really a particularly big football fan
or coach. He just really believed in this, and he liked the idea of it, and he thought it was pretty fun. And, you know, he's a guy that has a little bit of disposable income, so he helped us out with that. And, you know, that was definitely really appreciated. And he definitely helped with, you know, more than just, you know, tossing some money. You know, he helped with, you know,
he makes sure during all of our meetings kind of thing, we're keeping the bottom line in mind. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the bench.
When it comes to Frank, though, that's for sure. Speaking of their little niches, Mr. Ice Cream Man, John Dunderdale.
Big Dundee.
You got to give him a shout-out, man. He's been here since the very, very beginning.
Yep. First,
he was the one that I talked to before I finally told Casey, like, yeah, let's do it. I told him, like, hey, I can't do this myself. I'm going to need somebody to help me out. And
it was me, Jay, and John.
It's been fun. We're looking to move on now, though, and any War Eagle, I think I can speak for myself and Z and the other people who have been involved as far as the staff is concerned. You guys are always going to keep a special place in our hearts, and any War Eagle can reach out to me at any time. I don't care if you want to just shoot the shit, if you have problems going on, if you need help, you know, anything, just reach out. You guys know my phone number, you know how to get a hold of me. I'll always make sure I'm there for you guys, that's for sure.
Okay, that'll wrap up our second episode of the Amateur Adult American Football League official podcast. Make sure you do all the things that make any content provider very happy with liking, sharing, and giving us those reviews, preferably the 5-star variety, on all different outlets that podcasts can be found. You can also hit us up at secretary@theaaafl.com if you have any segments or certain things that you would like for us to address on the podcast. We look forward to hearing from you soon.